This podcast was recorded at the 2009 QP National Convention.
Thank you, delegates. Again, as I said, order of the day, and a real privileged order of the day for me, I have the pleasure to introduce what I'd ordinarily say is a very familiar face, but in terms of QP National Conventions, I told him last night, we think there's around 40% of the delegation here are first-time attendees at a national convention. So maybe not as familiar, but a good friend of our union. Our next guest speaker has been a long-time activist, a long-time leader, and for me, during the past 6 years that I've been in this position, a colleague and a personal friend, a colleague on the Executive Council of the Canadian Labour Congress, where I had the great privilege to serve, and a personal friend, one whom I first met on the Gainers picket line in the mid-1980s in Edmonton. Ken Giorgetti was first elected 10 years ago as president of the Canadian Labour Congress. Prior to serving in this capacity, he served as president of the British Columbia Federation of Labour for 13 years. Both at the Canadian Labour Congress and at the BC Federation, Ken has been an avid defender of labour rights, a leader dedicated to building strong organizations more representative of the face of the workforce we represent, and an unrelenting lobbyist to pursue stronger and more effective legislation for workers, first in BC and now federally. On a personal note, I want to thank Ken for a very difficult job that he has, building unity within the 55 affiliate unions of the Canadian Labour Congress, which isn't always an easy proposition. Ken has recently made rulings on a difficult situation, a bad situation, involving a nurses' union component in British Columbia that's openly raiding our hospital employees' union. And I thank Ken Giorgetti for his strong ruling saying there's no room in the labor movement for raiding amongst affiliates. I also close my introduction, and this is a privilege to introduce all of our guest speakers, and for me especially for Ken. In the last year, the CLC Executive Council has asked of Ken that we focus the resources of the Congress on issues related to the economic crisis. So we began in the spring under the leadership of Ken and the Congress officers on the issue of employment insurance. The deepest recession in seven decades and less than 44% of newly unemployed qualify for their own employment insurance system. And pensions, kicking off on Labor Day this year, what I enunciated in my remarks and what you debated yesterday in terms of the CLC plan to extend pension coverage to Canadians who don't have workplace pension plans and to make corporations, speculators, the stock market players, they should be the ones to fund a pension guarantee system so no worker has to wake up tomorrow and worry if their pension will be in place for them so they can retire in dignity. And I support that agenda of the Canadian Labour Congress. A warm QP welcome for our friend, my brother, your friend, Brother Ken Giorgetti.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. So, sisters and brothers, it is my honor to bring you the greetings of solidarity from the officers and the 3.2 million workers who are members of this great Canadian Labour Congress. Chers consoeurs et confrères, c'est un honneur.
This is indeed an honor for me to transmit the solidarity wishes of officers and 3.2 million workers who are member of CLC.
and Brother Claude Genereux on their re-election yesterday to lead your union. A wise choice, I must say. And, of course, to my dear friend Barry O'Neill and the other four vice presidents who are going to lead CUPE. Paul, thank you for the invitation to speak to your convention today. You know, Paul is an extremely valuable member of our Executive Council. His strong support for the Congress programs is greatly appreciated by all our affiliates. I know from our daily telephone conversations how hard Paul works for CUPE, but he extends his reach beyond just CUPE and helps the Congress and the bigger movement build. As a builder, Paul knows, as he says, you don't grow this labour movement by raiding each other for workers already in unions. And I must say, as a commentary to his credit, Paul Moyst does walk the talk. He says CUPE will never raid another affiliate, and he stands by his word, and I appreciate that. As a builder, your president knows that we'll never deliver the union advantage to the millions of women and men who need us now more than ever if we are divided. CUPE's leadership and members show that the commitment to building this movement, with your demonstration of solidarity with your sisters and brothers in other unions who are facing their toughest bargaining challenges in recent memories. I was proud a couple of weeks ago to be with your president, Paul Moyst, and CUPE members standing with steelworkers last month in Sudbury. Steelworkers who are on strike against Vail Inco, a once proud Canadian icon, a company wholly owned in Canada, now owned by a Brazilian multinational that's demanding cuts in pension benefits and pay from its workers, even though it made over $4 billion in profits in the last 2 years alone. It's a shame, you know. It's a reminder to all of us that our greatest strength in the union movement is our solidarity. Always is, always will be, both within your union and across this entire labor movement. Solidarity is how we built this movement. Solidarity is how we run this movement. And solidarity is the only way that we will grow this movement. You know, sisters and brothers, in this gloomy time with the economy still in deep recession, despite what the newspapers are saying, I want to try to cheer you up a little bit. Conrad Black is in jail and he isn't getting out anytime soon. This corporate criminal, this convicted fraud artist, this felon who obstructed justice, this union buster. Well, Black lost his last chance of getting bail the other day. Didn't you hear that? And he's going to stay in jail for another 6 years. Don't you feel better already? I just wish his partner, David Rattler, was still behind bars, too. But now he's back in the newspaper, you see, today. But you know, sisters and brothers, corporate criminals like Conrad Black are just simply a sign of workers across Canada already know that the values in our economy today are just simply wrong. Our economy rewards greed and ignores need. Our economy is punishing workers, ordinary working people who have spent their lives building this country, across this country, and it's benefiting corporate CEOs and bankers and those hedge fund managers, some who don't even live in this country. And as every delegate here knows, too many of our governments, federal, provincial, and municipal, are punishing public sector workers for a private sector economic crisis that we had absolutely nothing to do with. And that's just not right. Do you know, was it a CUPE City Hall worker in Halifax who swept Lehman Brothers into bankruptcy in New York? I don't think so. Was it a CUPE school bus driver in Oshawa who drove Merrill Lynch into the ground on Wall Street? It's not likely. No, what's happened is that greedy and incompetent and overpaid CEOs robbed our economy. And right-wing governments were there driving the getaway car for them. And now those same governments are trying to make QP members and other public sector workers pay for these corporate crimes. Well, it is a shame, and we have to send that right-wing government a clear message that corporate crime as well doesn't pay. And if they think it does, we need to make them pay at the ballot box. That's what we need to do. You know, our Congress is working with QP and other affiliates through our labour councils across Canada to do exactly that. Use the ballot box to make sure local governments are more receptive to the needs of ordinary working people. In the past few years, your Congress and our labour councils have helped elect more than 800 labour-endorsed mayors, city councillors, and school trustees across this country. Those elected officials are supporting the goals of ordinary working people. They not only think like us, they look like us. They hire unionized workers and they use local procurement policies in their decision-making. Heck, just last week in municipal elections in Newfoundland, with QP's help, three new labour-endorsed city councillors were elected. And they elected the mayor of St. John's was also a labour-endorsed candidate. QP plays a big role in our municipality matters work. Listen, members like Terry Bennett running as candidates, members like Carl Edwards working as organizers in our campaigns, and members like Bill Wakely from QP 1860, who is now the new mayor of Lewin's Cove, Newfoundland. Congratulations, brother. I'm told his worship is in the room, so thank you, brother. And thank you to all the QP members who helped make a difference in Newfoundland and Labrador's municipal elections. It works, and we work. But federally, what can I say? We still have more work to do. But by carefully targeting ridings with large numbers of union workers, RCLC and affiliates helped our ally, the NDP, win its second highest number of members of Parliament ever. And we do the same work in the provinces and territories with our federations of labour, because the need to fight back against this corporate and right-wing attacks is simply enormous. QP members, and indeed all workers across this country, are getting hammered by employers at the bargaining table. Your members in the public sector, your members at Air Canada and other workplaces are being forced to take pay cuts, to take pension reductions, to take benefit cuts, to take unpaid holidays, to take fewer hours of work, all to pay for the outrageous greed and incompetence of those corporate bosses. It's a shame, you know. So what does big media do? What do they do? Who do they blame for this economic crisis? Do you ever get to read those rotten newspapers in Toronto there, the Globe and the bankrupt Post? They don't blame the bankers. They don't blame the wealthy. They don't blame the corporate crooks like Conrad Black. No, big media blame, surprise, it's the union's fault. It's our fault that we're here. Here's what a right-wing columnist, Terrence Corcoran of the now bankrupt National Post, Black's old newspaper, said about pension plans like QP's, and I quote, "Why do these giant public pension plans exist?" he says. "These are essentially wealth confiscated by governments," says Corcoran and his friends. "Gee, Terry, I always thought pensions were deferred earnings of workers set aside so we could retire with a little bit of dignity and some security." You know, Corcoran continues. He said, "Hydro workers, police, municipal employees, teachers are all set to receive relatively lavish pensions paid for by Canadian taxpayers." Oh, yes, to be a retired QP worker, huh? Flying to Monaco for the winter, washing and waxing your Ferrari, golf at exclusive country clubs reserved only for retired public sector members to keep out that corporate riffraff, daily manicures and pedicures, and thanks to the lavish pensions provided by taxpayers. What a bad joke. If it wasn't so sad that this guy has so much influence, that CEOs nearly ruin our country, and the unions are the bad guys. That's why we need to take on people like Terrence Corcoran and his good friends at the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. Do you know, we did a little research on the CFIB, and 12 of them have, we think, 12 of them have deferred public sector pensions that when they retire will collect from these lavish pension plans that they and Corcoran talk about, who only want to drive down wages and pensions that give retired workers dignity after a lifetime of work, even though I argue with Catherine Swift that union members and retirees are probably their members' best customers, they'll do so against their own interests for their philosophy. It's shameful. Les membres des syndicats ont
members of trade unions have paid taxes throughout their life to fund public services. We will not let business sharks take that money and deprive us of health care to give it to multimillionaires who have almost destroyed our economy. I wouldn't want only complain that things are getting bad. It would be too easy. I would like also tell you that we can obtain positive results for workers even in difficult times by changing and shifting public opinion. Because when public opinion is in favor of workers and our unions, politicians must listen.
One directly relevant to QP, and another which is vital to 190,000 workers across Canada who have lost their jobs. Last month, I met with Prime Minister Stephen Harper at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh. Second time I've had a meeting with him since he was Prime Minister. I told him we have to leave the country now to meet. He doesn't want to be seen with me in Canada. But in that meeting, they put us in a little boardroom, and we waited a while, and the Prime Minister came in the back, the service entrance, and quipped to me. He said, "Ken, did you see the sign out there saying, 'Keep quiet, you'll disturb the chefs'?" I said, "No, Prime Minister, they actually let me in the front door." But that meeting was a culmination, even though it was in Pittsburgh, months of work and months of frustration on our part by the CLC to persuade the federal conservative government to help, to extend a helping hand to unemployed workers. It's not easy even getting a meeting with that guy, as I said, let alone convincing him that employment insurance reforms he announced are welcome, but much more needs to be done, even though he might get by with a little help from his friends. But it's critically important, workers' lives here are on the line. We're not talking about theory here, we're talking about real people's lives. Their families and their communities are in dire straits. And so what have we done? With considerable helps of affiliates like QPs and leaders like Paul Moyse, is to try to influence, in our own way, public opinion about employment insurance. And you know what? You've seen it, and we have. We've seen polls change. We've seen media commentators and even editorials in some newspapers change. Gradually, step by step, we've convinced more and more Canadians that EI changes are needed to extend the social safety net for innocent workers who have held their jobs for long periods of time. And now, finally, that's exactly what's going to happen. It isn't enough. It's not nearly enough. It doesn't help those workers who are unemployed but did not hold long-term jobs. But for 190,000 workers and their families, an extra 20 weeks of employment insurance announced by the government is literally, my friends, a lifeline that they desperately need. And you know, that's how the labor movement makes progress. I almost think we changed to the metric system so that we can measure it by centimeters from time to time. Sometimes the change is not big enough like this, but sometimes, even after enormous frustration, anything you can get, as I say, is better than nothing. And we do it with the invaluable assistance of our allies in Parliament, with Jack Layton and the NDP caucus holding the balance of power and forcing the Conservatives to do the right thing. Et avec le Bloc québécois qui a...
Also, we have the Bloc québécois, which supports us a great deal in many of legislative demands, such as the anti-scab bill, for instance. And this proves that our political action is essential for our success. And when we are weak in Parliament, results are unavoidably weak. However, we must react and we must get everything our members need urgently to face this economic crisis. And we are deploying all our efforts. We ask the federal government to act, first of all, to finish repairing employment insurance, which is not working correctly. Increased by 20 weeks, benefits for long-time working workers. This is a beginning.
Get serious about creating and supporting Canadian jobs with industrial strategies, social infrastructure, investments like childcare, and local procurement policies that support jobs in Canada in both the private and public sector. Third, and this is an absolute big priority for the CLC, as Paul said, it's time to radically improve the Canada Pension Plan, which really is our country's largest defined benefit plan. Do you know it covers 93% of working Canadians? Our Congress proposes doubling those CPP benefits over 7 years so that it can gradually replace that underperforming and extremely expensive RRSP industry that our research says benefits less than 1% of the population. We won't get there overnight, to be sure, but we will get there if we persevere and if we change public opinion from the current attitude that your retirement income is your own personal responsibility. You know, that survival of the fittest stuff you hear from the right wing all the time, to one where, just like with public health care, Canadians believe that retiring with dignity and security is a right in a society as rich and wealthy as ours. And because so many workplace pensions, including public sector pension plans, are integrated with the CPP benefits, a better CPP ultimately means more money could be available at our bargaining tables to improve overall pension benefits, or even improve other benefits, or even, gosh forbid, give us a wage increase. If you look back to the 1960s, as we have, our Canadian Labour Congress and unions across this country worked for a national health care system that guaranteed every citizen access to basic medical services. Even though many unions had one good health insurance plan for their own members, they understood then, as we understood now, the advantage and responsibility that comes from a good safety net for everyone is more important than that. We can do the same thing with pensions, my friends, so that people can live in their last years of their lives with dignity and some security after a lifetime of work. I think we owe that to them, whether they're in a union or not. These are just some of the steps that we must take to begin our economic recovery. But what we have to do to start is take control of the agenda. It's not their country, it's ours. It's not their economy, it's ours. Last time I looked, corporations don't get a vote, but they sure get a lot of influence, because we must begin once again to transform this economy from one based on greed to one based on need. So I invite you all as Paul has, to join with the CLC membership and the affiliates in fighting for a new and fair economy where everyone benefits, not just the wealthy few. Let's take them on. Let's make a difference. Thank you for listening. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you, delegates, and thank you very much, Ken. I have a small presentation to make to Ken, who has asked not to receive a personal gift, but in Ken's name, we make a donation to the Columbia Foundation, a community organization, not-for-profit, trying to build communities across Canada. Ken, thank you for spending time at CUPE's 24th Constitutional Convention.